Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, The Game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day.
You just saw that, didn't you?
Chase tried to do 9 things here. Meanwhile,
just dropping stuff.
We have Mr. America on the line, so it's crazy.
Tim Hasselbeck joins us now on the program. And Tim, I just want you to know, unlike Joe, Sunday night when you were with SVP, I was watching.
I think Joe goes to bed at 7:30, which means he won't be awake at that hour.
It's unfortunate.
When people do tell me, they're like, "Yeah, it's sorry." I'm like, "You're up really late."
I remember really asking you. We did our TV thing that night, and I said, "You still doing that little thing over at ESPN?" You're like, "Yeah, every Sunday night." Tim won, Joe nothing.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's because, like, what time do you eat dinner, Joe? Like, that's what I want. What time are you eating
which
dinner?
Which one? Which but dinner?
You know what? Great point.
I'm doing Mr. Olympia this year, so I carb load at 3:30.
Oh, that's good. Let's start with the big news with Patrick Mahomes tearing his ACL. Look, it wasn't a good year to begin with, and it unfortunately gets worse. So what do the Chiefs do knowing they're going to miss the playoffs? He's got to now rehab a knee, and they got a lot of holes that they got to fill on that roster.
Yeah, I kind of feel what's interesting about them is that, you know, they're a team that for the last, whatever, decade, it feels like they've dominated the NFL. Like, the expectations have been, hey, they're a Super Bowl organization. And now, to, you know, the point you're making about, let's address it prior to the injury, they weren't very good. You know, they had a really bad year. I think they've gotten things wrong at receiver. They did not have a running back. They, you know, have let offensive linemen, you know, get away from them that, you know, they probably needed to hold on to. And so what's been wild is last couple of years they've been more of a defensive-led team. So I think they need to figure things out offensively in terms of, let's just be real, like tight end, wide receiver, and running back. Those are all positions of need. You do need to address offensive line again. And, oh, by the way, you need to prepare yourself as if Patrick Mahomes is going to miss some time. So you need a quarterback that can at least, you know, hold the fort down and have you still be in playoff contention until he's healthy enough and ready to be back. So I think it's a really, you know, a critical offseason for the Chiefs, which it was kind of wild to be saying that considering, you know, who they've been for so long.
Is there any scenario in your mind where Andy Reid looks at this and goes, you know what, I'm gonna let the next guy handle it and steps away?
No, because I don't I just don't think that he ever is going to be like that impacted by like other people. I mean, think of the guys that he's, you know, from Favre to McNabb to Vic to Jeff Garcia to Alex Smith. Like, I think there were people that thought he might, you know, maybe he's done when he was, you know, finishing up in Philadelphia. I think guys like Andy are going to be sure they're done when they're done. And to me, it feels like he's going to be coaching more football.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Tim, to a larger degree about getting quarterbacks, could we see this trend now, like, you know, Arch Manning's not going to go pro. Lenore Sellers not going to go pro. Ty Simpson's probably not going to go pro. Those guys that come out as juniors and everything are not coming out. Could we see that position, God, I don't want to use the word decline a little bit, but some of these top-level guys aren't coming out, so there's not really a cream of the crop coming up in college football. Does that make sense?
I think here's what's going to happen is guys bounce around from school to school. Okay, I think that it's going to be harder to find consistency year over year for quarterbacks. And sometimes because it's the quarterback that's changing. And then I think sometimes it's because the guys around them are changing. And so to be able to recreate, you know, playing well, you know, multiple years in a row could end up being difficult, right? So I think that ends up being, you know, something that we're going to see that's going to affect, you know, how guys are evaluated and what the prospects of them are. Then I think that you also are going to look at it when a guy doesn't have like the assurance and, you know, full, you know, like the grade and the feedback that, yes, you for sure are going to go in the first 10 picks. Well, then why wouldn't you stay in school? Like, starting quarterback money in the SEC is going to be about $5 million.
Right.
So stay in school, you know, get paid $5 million bucks, and improve your draft stock by playing better. So I think there's going to be an element of that as well. So I don't know. It's wild, and truthfully, it's broken. But, you know, until the college players, you know, are made employees of the school and have a union to represent them, you know, it's going to be year-over-year free agency, which is going to create this environment, I think.
Are you saying because they're moving around the development, the continuity, if they would have stayed 2 or 3 years, you could see that development now that they're moving around? Like, you know, Mendoza was at Cal. He was okay at Cal. Yep. Then he gets to Indiana, and now he's Heisman Trophy winner and a really good quarterback. So yeah. I see both sides of it. It's just,
hey,
I'd hate to be an evaluator now because you know you don't know.
And now strike while the iron's hot because you just had a great year, you know, but – you know, and a lot of people wanted Pavia to win the Heisman. Like, how great was the year? Was it really? He's the number one overall pick. You know, the kid at Florida who's going to be a good prospect when he comes out. Lagway, like, he's on the move now. And I think there's going to be other guys between, you know, obviously, you know, Arch is going to end up staying at Texas. I think he's going to be a unique case just from the family dynamic on that one. But, like, pretty much everyone else, yeah, it's a free-for-all, an absolute free-for-all. And, yeah, so I think it's development, it's continuity, it's – and I've said this to you guys before, too. Like, it still is also a dependent position. So when guys around him, you know, or the quarterback, whoever it is, when the guys around him are good, like, don't you think that's going to matter as well, like, in terms of how the guy plays? So, and I think I've said this before too, like, I think that's one of the hardest things about quarterback evaluation is really having an understanding of, you know, who the guys are that the guy's playing with.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So our buddy Ricky texted this, and I don't think this is completely crazy, so I'll throw this scenario to you. Could Borgonzi, with his relationship with the Chiefs, maybe get a draft pick out of Kansas City for Will Levis? Will Levis is then with Andy Reid, which I think would be great for his career. He can be the stopgap until Patrick's ready to come back. And look, if he plays well, then that's a trade chip for Kansas City to move him to a contender.
Yeah, that's not a terrible one. What you don't know is what Andy thought of him in the process.
Yeah. True.
Right. Like, if Andy liked him, then yeah, I mean, Andy is all about the quarterback reclamation projects. Like, and he, you know, for sure, you know, when he finds somebody that he thinks is pretty good, is happy to bring him into the program, you know, polish him up a little bit and send him on his way. Like, he has done that in the past with a bunch of guys. So yeah, it's not a bad thought, but it only works if Andy Reid liked him in the evaluation process.
Fair point. We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, continuing with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at Innsworth. Philip Rivers made his re-debut with the Colts at 44 years old, and I'm going to be honest with you, he didn't look too bad. I heard you and SVP talking about it on Sunday night as well, but what was kind of your thoughts on Rivers, old man Rivers, as they refer to him, coming back with the Colts?
Yeah, I think it went the way that Shane Steichen probably wanted it to go, which was, you know, they didn't ask him to do too much. you know, from the standpoint of, I think they tried to protect certain situations that he was in. So, you know, the first third and 12 that they got, they threw a perimeter screen, you know, just to be sure. But when he left the game, they were winning on the road at Seattle against one of the best defenses in the game. So I think they're a good enough football team that if they don't have a quarterback that makes the disastrous plays to lose the game, I think they can be competitive. Now, they're up against it with a tough schedule, you know, already a few games behind in the division to be a playoff team, but I think he gives them a chance that Riley Leonard did not give them.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, too. Another guy I wanted to ask you about, Joe Burrow, looks like he would rather be anywhere other than Cincinnati right now. What does that mean for Zach Taylor moving forward?
I mean, I think it puts Zach Taylor in a little bit of, you know, hot water, you know, or just in trouble. I think the Burrow of it all, I think, has probably been a little concerning. He's, I'm sure, frustrated with injuries and how his season's gone and things like that. But, you do need to, I think, probably put a little bit better professional face on than he's put on, and, you know, and understand the things that you say to the media in a press conference can kind of take on a life of their own. I think the easiest way to lose your job as a head coach is to have your quarterback not play well. So, and not that you could say like Burrow's not been playing well. I think he's been injured. I think he's come back. He certainly did not play well this past week, but, you know, all quarterbacks have that. But I think that you could look at it and just say, as a team, they've underachieved with, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the game. That's a problem for any head coach. So there's going to be changes. We know it every year in terms of head coaching positions. There's always surprises as well. So I think that we've already seen some change, and I think we'll continue to see more.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the very, very popular Chasing Big Joe show. Tim, your thoughts on Christian McVay being the next head coach of the Titans?
I'm not sure about that one. You think that's going to happen?
Why not? I mean, that's Sean McVay's new son. Might as well get the second best coach in the National Football League after Sean McVay.
Being 3 years old or two would be a problem.
Yeah, just hire him now. Bring him in here. No, I joke because
in all seriousness, who do you want?
Oh, I would love to have Art Smith here because he's the only assistant coach that ever knew my name. So I thought it'd be kind of cool if he comes back here.
Make it about you.
Yeah, make it about me.
Wow.
No, I'm a big – I like Art Smith, but I like Robert Saleh because I like the tenacity, and I think this football team and this franchise needs a guy with tenacity, and I think he knows what happened in New York was terrible. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to do what he wanted to do, and I think he's going to come back and say, you know what, screw all that. I'm going to run it the way I need to run it, and I'm going to run it with discipline, and I think this football team needs discipline.
And then I would think that who he pairs as the offensive coordinator – somebody from the Shanahan tree would be your preference.
Yeah. I mean, I want a head coach who oversees everything. I don't want him sitting on the bench with Cam Ward when the defense is on the field going over plays. I want him to be yelling at people. I love Ditka. When Ditka was at the Bears, I know we default to that. You know Bill Parcells. Well, I need that. Mm-hmm. I need when you walk into a room, you are scared to death of your football coach. Were there coaches you were scared of?
Oh, for sure.
Right. Gosh,
there were all kinds of coaches I was afraid of. Even the ones that I think were, you know, viewed as players' coaches. You know, but that was because I always thought they were going to be like, hey, man, turn your playbook in. You got to go. But listen, I don't hate the Robert Saleh idea. Another name that's going to come up is Matt Nagy. How do you feel about that?
I don't mind it because he did well with the Bears and Trubisky, and I think he went through the fire and now knows what not to do as opposed to what his gut feeling should tell him to do.
So you want somebody that has head coaching experience.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And obviously Arthur Smith has had head coaching experience and knows your name.
Yep.
So, right. You know, there's look, I wouldn't disagree with any of those names, to be honest. I have no.
Oh, no. No. Amy Adams Strunk heard it.
That's right.
We'll try and get him back on. I don't know. Tim, you there?
Did Joe drop?
There we go.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
I'm here. Josh McDaniel.
No, pass.
Okay, why?
I think he was a disaster in Denver, disaster in Las Vegas, and reading reports of the team and people around him, they couldn't stand him. Plus, I don't think Tim Tebow liked him. And if Tim Tebow doesn't like you, that means something to me.
Well, and he probably doesn't know your name, so he's out.
Right.
Look, they're going to be good candidates. They're going to be good candidates with guys that have had head coaching experience. You know, I actually think that this is probably not a terrible cycle, you know, in terms of, of what's out there. Let me put another name out there, and not necessarily as a head coach, but maybe he's paired with somebody else. Chip Kelly.
No, I can't.
I'd consider it for him to run the offense.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so do you think, because this whole thing has to center around Cam Ward, at least until they say it doesn't, it does. He's the young quarterback, and you want to build around him. Is it more beneficial to him to have the offensive-minded head coach that's going to call plays and be essentially the offensive coordinator and work with the quarterback, or bring in, you know, Saleh or the Vrabel type, the defensive-minded guy who finds the guru to be the OC and work with the quarterback, knowing that he's probably, if it goes well, gone in 2 or 3 years as a head coach?
Yeah, my preference is the offensive-minded head coach. That would be my preference for a young quarterback, because it's like there's an unwavering identity that can happen with the offensive-minded head coach. So I'll give you an example. I think there's going to be an unwavering identity when Sean McVay's the coach, when Kyle Shanahan's the coach, when Andy Reid's the coach. Like, so no matter, to your point about coordinators changing and things like that, then, you know, you could have change. And I think change is hard for quarterbacks. So I would prefer the offensive-minded guy. Now, there's obviously been success with the guys that you've referenced. You know, Vrabel's having success right now. It'd be a good example of one. So, you know, I don't think that you can have it, you know, handcuff you in terms of your decision, but I certainly would go into it with a preference for sure. Well, like, now I'll give you another one. So, like, Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
You want him as a head coach?
No.
And why not?
I worry about – I mean, look, maybe things have changed, and he's obviously been one of the best defensive coordinators in the game, but he didn't have success as a head coach. I mean, it just and you can make arguments about Arthur Smith and Matt Nagy and Robert Saleh too.
Right.
The situation does factor into it, but I'd rather have those three guys over him.
Interesting. Because, like, I think he'd be a great head coach. You got another shot at it. But, like, maybe that ship has sailed, you know, in terms of it. I mean, he was in, you know, he was in St. Louis with Sam Bradford, and there was obviously a lot of things happening, you know, with that organization in general. I mean, they moved out of the city. So,
he's a great coach, but I think there's better ones. I really like Saleh just because he's overall – I don't want any more offensive head coaches who had deal with coordinating. I'm tired of that, Tim. I don't want that. It didn't work out with Callahan. Yes, it works out with some.
Well, if they've called plays before, I'm okay with it. Like, if Matt Nagy was the guy – I mean, this dude took Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs. So, like, there's something to be said for that.
Hey, could you imagine if the team was like, all right, here's how we settled, guys, okay? A lot of good candidates. Like, it was the press conference. He took Mitchell Trubisky to the playoffs. So let's be real. Everyone here needs to be excited about this. Could you imagine? That'd be an amazing way to introduce the new head coach.
I don't see. Look, I like Sala. I think Nagy. I think Art Smith is good. I just think there's some good candidates there. I think stop going with what, you know, don't do what's cute in the NFL now. Go out and that's why I like to see Sala here. I just think he would bring an attitude of being pissed off all the time. I mean, do you think Bill Parcells ever went into the Giants headquarters and said, "Good morning, everybody"? Probably not, right?
No. No, no, and I would say this, like, here's one thing that is going to happen, because, look, the Chiefs are out of the playoffs. Like, these guys are going to start talking to Chiefs coaches right now. And,
sure.
You know, if the 49ers are alive, you know, later, those coaches aren't going to be able to talk to anybody. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the things in this process that is a way bigger deal than I think people realize, because, you know, are you going to sit around and wait for Robert Saleh when somebody else might want to talk to Robert Saleh?
Right.
And so you're going to wait for him because of his schedule and inability to interview and things like that. But at the same time, you might not get him.
True. Let me ask you something. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Well, I was going to say, versus a guy that he's available, you can talk to him, and you can figure out if you want to hire him right away.
Were you on that Giants team that went bowling with Tom Coughlin and Strahan took him aside and told him to calm down and relax?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was that? Because we're talking about coaches that are very stoic and very, you know, and not dealing with everything. Did that not change his persona a little bit, Tim?
It definitely changed him, for sure. You know, Coughlin always had the stuff with, like, 5 minutes early and, you know, and all that stuff. And it didn't go great. And so, you know, they developed a leadership council. And I think Coughlin, to his credit, you know, he was an older coach at the time, he relinquished a little bit of control. And it went a long way. It helped because, you know, that the team that won the Super Bowl, you know, they had some issues personnel-wise that they were able to coach through. But I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, the team, you know, really ended up buying in. I think there was – you may remember, but, you know, like Kiki Barber was in the media at that point. He took a shot at Eli Manning.
Yes.
Kind of rallied the troops around Eli a little bit. And Coughlin, and you know, I think the team bonded, and it was really kind of a unique situation. So, but it takes, you know, a player like Strahan, guys like that, to kind of make that happen. So, look, coaches can change for sure, and Coughlin definitely, second time round being a head coach, you know, came into it, hadn't really changed, but then was able to modify his approach going forward.
Yeah, and got two Super Bowls. Before we let you go, our question of the day is, we're talking about leap of faith in your life. What leap of faith you have taken? Is there a leap of faith in your life you've taken that has paid off wonderfully well?
I would say when I shaved the comb over, you know, just got rid of the comb over.
That was your leap of faith? That was it?
I mean, I didn't know. Like, what was it going to look like? Yeah, like, what? Like that, don't you feel like that's a big adjustment?
Yeah. I mean, once I think that's a confidence thing, because I had the party in the back, business up front, and I saw a picture of my bald spot, and I said, I'm done. And I shaved my head, and my daughter was 4 years old, and she would not stop crying because she did not recognize her daddy. And it really affected me for about 4 seconds. Then I said, you know what? I like this, and I'm bald, and I'm just grab it. There you go.
Hey, yeah. No, I mean, hey, I'm obviously, like joking about that. Listen, I think that Philip Rivers' sound after the game about taking risk, like the safe things to do, like not being afraid to fail, like those types of things. If you guys haven't played that Philip Rivers sound, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing because he's like that guy's going to the Hall of Fame, I think, and he could have embarrassed himself at 44 years old. But I do think there's something about not being afraid to fail. So, you know, I joke, you know, about the shaving the head thing. Yeah. But, like, the truth is, look, I went and played in NFL Europe. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, man, like, you've been cut by three football teams already. Like, why are you still chasing the dream? You're going to be the 40-year-old minor leaguer, right? Or getting into TV, for that matter. I've never done TV before. Like, you can fall, you guys know it. You can fall flat on your face and embarrass yourself. I've never been a high school football coach before. Like, I do think there is an element that, in terms of leap of faith, that, you know, if you can not be afraid to fail, like, you can probably, you know, end up learning some pretty good things about yourself.
What about asking a cute little girl in class at Boston College to go out on a date? That's pretty good, huh?
Oh, listen, like, there's like, no, that leap of faith was definitely, hey, Elizabeth was a year older than me, okay?
All right.
That was a pretty big deal. And I let me just say that, like, you know, she wasn't fully sold on me right away, okay? So, like, it maybe wasn't
fair.
Just one ask, all right?
So, right. Right. So, like, when she,
sometimes a little perseverance is good.
Good. So were you guys together when she was on Survivor?
We were. We were. Talk about leap of faith. Like, hey, I'm going to go to the Australian Outback and compete in a thing called Survivor and not know, you know, anything about it because, you know, we like it never aired before.
Right.
We didn't know what it was about. So
how long was she gone for?
I mean, she's gone for a couple months, but,
Lord.
But like on the show itself, I think it was like 39 days or something like that on the show itself. But obviously it was longer than that.
Wow.
So,
that is
yeah,
crazy.
I mean, you know, I knew you were a big Survivor fan, Joe. Right? I mean,
back in the day. Yeah. Heck yeah. Richard Hatch. Was that guy's name?
No, he won the first one. Actually, a woman from Knoxville won the season Elizabeth was on.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's
Steve
right.
Wesson. Yep. Yep. So let me if we did Survivor, like who would last between the three of us?
Oh, you guys would. I tell you all the time.
Tim.
The TV show Little House on the Prairie, I'd have died day one. I can't cook. I can't kill. I can't hunt. I can't clean. I'm dead. I just throw me out. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Joe on that, but good stuff. Tim, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
See
you, pal. Yes, sir. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on the program, as he always does on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. We'll react to some of that and much more.
Well, let's find that Rivers. Have you heard it? I haven't the Philip Rivers soundbite. I haven't heard it.
I've heard a few. I don't know exactly the one he was referencing.
If it's got Tim Hasselbeck flipping out, I want to hear it, man.
All right, we will coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.